Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Monday and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for beginning your week with us and being able to chat about the Red Sox weekend series that was not a very good one. I'm Lauren Campbell. I cover Boston sports for Nesson.com. Grew up in the Boston area, so born and raised a Red Sox fan, now covering them for a living. So it's been a lot of fun doing this as a fan and as a reporter. Alongside me, as always, is the Boston Herald's Red Sox columnist, Jason Mastrodonato. And this was a very ugly series, but we will get into all of that and so much more. But first, join Walking Baseball Encyclopedia, Paul Francis Sullivan, my good friend Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So, jumping right into this, the weekend set against the Rangers was not good. They won Friday 6-0. Saturday was a completely different story, and Sunday's game was postponed due to the tropical storm we have rolling in here in the Northeast. It's going to be Monday, but Saturday's game, very bad, to say the least. Bad baseball all around. The Rangers got 17 hits. The Red Sox made 5 errors. Erod was awful. The offense, defense, bad baseball. And I mean, there's so many takeaways from this where it was bad pitching, bad offense. Even Alex Cora was pretty mad after the game. He did not sound happy. He called the loss embarrassing. Didn't really have a lot to say about Erod, which was not very good. He was just like, there's not much to talk about. It's like, oh dear. But I mean, if there's one thing you can take away from this Saturday's game, Jason, what is it?
They're just lost. I mean, this looks like a team that is either lost focus or is feeling the pressure of just playing bad baseball for the better part of 4 weeks now. And the Yankees keep winning and the Rays are watching their lead extend. I think it's up to 6.5 games now. And, you know, the A's, thankfully, for the Red Sox have not played particularly well. So they're kind of hanging with the A's for that second wild card spot. Hope is not lost yet. But it just looks like a team that is scared or unfocused or has given up on itself. Or it's like, you know, we've talked about this over and over again with the trade deadline, but how do you not keep going back to it when it's like they have visibly looked so much less confident and less productive in pretty much every way? I mean, the defense and base running mistakes on Saturday, that I always feel like those are the signs of a team that is just desperate, just trying to make something happen. You look at some of those errors too, you know, Kike Hernandez, when the ball ricocheted off Erod, the Brock Holt hit in the fourth inning, that was pretty much the swing of the game at that point. If Erod gets out of that inning, they're okay. They're only a couple runs down. He doesn't. And then Kike goes to pick it up over at second, and the guy's running home, and he tries to make like a miracle play, a throw on the run to get the guy at home. Not even close. Throws it away. Brock Holt gets all the way to the third. The next play is a double. Erod's out of the game, and the game's pretty much lost at that point. And it's just those little things, like Kike trying too hard to make something happen there, or JD trying to score from second on a line drive to right field early in the game, and he's thrown out easily at home. You know, or Kike being too aggressive off the bases, not tagging back to first base in time. Obviously, that play by, who was it, DJ Phillips? Is that his name?
DJ Peters.
Peters, the Rangers center fielder, made a great play. But those are the things you see from teams that are nervous, that are feeling the pressure, that don't feel confident in their abilities. So they're just trying too hard to make individual plays. I think that's what we're seeing with the Red Sox right now.
Yeah, they really cannot get out of their own way. I feel like this entire team has the yips. Like, nobody is on the same page right now. They're just not. They don't look like a good team. I was at Saturday's game, and it was just very annoying because it's like you're watching it happen, and, you know, especially that JD Martinez play. I was like, I don't know why he's trying to score right now. He's not known for his speed. He's not the fastest guy out there. And it's still bugging me that Kyle Schwarber has not played the outfield. Maybe that was the case for Sunday, despite the game being postponed. Maybe that was supposed to happen Sunday. But it's just, it's so frustrating. And again, I know we keep going back to the trade deadline, but every single team got better around the Red Sox. And maybe now we can say that the Red Sox certainly got worse. I think for a time, at least for me, I didn't want to admit that they got worse because I wanted to see how some of these players panned out. But I mean, Kyle Schwarber's been fine, but he just wasn't needed. And we're going to go back to that several times. But I mean, when you have your own manager saying that it's embarrassing and we didn't run the bases, we didn't put good at bats, basically we didn't do anything well. And Cora said that we've been playing sloppy ball for a while and they keep doing it. So we've got to be accountable. That accountability starts now. Like, it should have started weeks ago when everything started to kind of unfold. But it's just really frustrating seeing how successful the Yankees have been lately and how the Rays are doing really well. And the Red Sox are just, like you said, trying too hard. And I think it stems from they know that they're not in a playoff spot. They're fighting for their playoff lives at the end of August, and they can't do anything right. They're probably all too in their own heads. I'm sure they're all a little tired at this point, but it's like, this is go time, and you need to start playing better. It's that simple. I mean, I'm no professional ball player, but you have JD Martinez swinging at everything. You have Kike Hernandez not being able to make a simple play, getting the lead runner. And it's, I mean, you can only blame Cora so much because he's doing all he can with what he has, but it's just, it's so, so frustrating. And I don't know where they go from here. Because if, I mean, looking far ahead, if they lose Monday to the Rangers, it's just going to be really ugly. The Rangers cannot win this series.
Yeah, this was supposed to be the easy part of the schedule, right? I mean, they got the Rangers, the Twins, the Indians. These are teams that are not playing well. The Rangers really have the worst offense in baseball. Look at their lineup on Saturday. They had one guy who hit .263. I think everyone else was under .250. Their batting average is a couple under .200. I mean, this is an offense that should not be scary. You know, I haven't seen Cora that definitive with the way he handled Erod. This was one start after Erod was not happy that he was coming out of the game and maybe trying to big time his manager a little bit. And then the next start, Erod comes out and he's terrible. Maybe the worst we've seen him all year. I don't know. I mean, he had nothing working. The Rangers were hitting everything he threw. Obviously didn't field the ball. The momentum's shifting. Brock Holt, I guess it was single turned into a triple, basically. Erod didn't field it, but it seemed like Cora was pretty frustrated with him. I mean, he takes him out after, 58 pitches? It was like, just give me the ball. Erod walks into the dugout, takes his glove, throws it as hard as he can against the dugout wall, which, by the way, if you remember a few years ago, is how Carson Smith ended up basically ruining his career.
No.
If you remember that, Carson Smith messed up his shoulder doing that and has not come back since. So, you know, when you see guys doing that, it's a little concerning. So there's a disconnect somewhere. You know, the players aren't feeling confident. Cora's getting frustrated. It's starting to bubble over now. And I think Saturday, when you hear Cora talk after the game, that's about as frustrated and as hard on his team as he's been since he's been the Red Sox manager, and that includes all 3 years he's managed. So it just seems like everything's bubbling up right now. If they can't figure it out against the Twins and the Indians, it's going to be tough after that, because then the Rays are back, and it's like at that point you're probably just playing for a wild card spot, but now you got to go through the Rays. And then you get 6 out of 9 games are against the Rays. Then the White Sox and Mariners, who are pushing for playoff spots. So it's not going to get any easier, and the Red Sox have a lot to figure out.
They do. And, you know, you mentioned Cora's frustration, and after games, he's always trying to be optimistic. He's trying to laugh and smile and make jokes. And I feel like Saturday's game was just, he was, like, not having it. And that probably stems from nothing working. He watched, you know, his whole team. There wasn't really a positive takeaway from Saturday's game, and it's probably the first time, like you said, in the 3 years that Cora was just done. Like, he was just absolutely, this is what's going on, calling out his players. He's called out players before, but to say that basically there's not much to say about Erod, I feel like he's frustrated with him, and maybe that stems from his last start. Like when you said, they had that little confrontation in the dugout, Erod didn't want to come out, but the schedule gets, a smidge easier for a couple games before it gets really tough. And you can't go into a tough series or a tough stretch of games the way they've been playing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's weird because I'm looking at all the numbers and I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. And, you know, especially offensively, because Cora always goes back to that early July series against the A's is when he felt like the offense started playing differently. And so I looked at the numbers before that series and after. And it's weird because the Red Sox are basically doing the same things offensively. Like, yeah, they're chasing a lot, but they've always been doing that. Up until that Oakland series, they had a 31% chase rate last in baseball. Since that Oakland series, they have a 31% chase rate, 29th in baseball. They're making contact on those pitches right about the same as they have. They actually reduced their strikeout rate and increased their walk rate since that time. And yet the OPS is about the same. You know, somehow they're doing the same things. They just aren't working anymore. So it makes you wonder, were they lucky the first few months of the season? Were they just, they won these close games? They just had some kind of fluke luck that was with them where they were able to win those close games to come from behind games and it disappeared? Or did every other team just kind of realize what the Red Sox were doing? Did they make adjustments to them? It's really strange because the numbers are almost identical on offense. I guess the pitching's gotten worse, right? I mean, some of these starters, you know, two of them are in the bullpen now. The bullpens, you know, Matt Barnes and Adam Ottavino have gotten a little bit worse after their dominant first halves. But it's just weird. It's like the same. You're looking at the same team, and yet they're just losing now.
Yeah, it's very weird. Not a lot is working right now, but thankfully Chris Sale does seem to be working. He had another really solid start against the Rangers on Friday, but we will talk about the good. Surprisingly, there is some good from these last two games in our second segment. But first, I do want to tell you about Molecule Mattress. And when I heard how many elite athletes sleep on a Molecule mattress and call it their best sleep ever, I had to order one for myself, and they are spot on. I'm certainly no athlete, but I do work out a lot. I live a pretty, you know, active lifestyle. But my sleep schedule is terrible, and that comes with, you know, working a night shift and doing all that. But sometimes I wake up, maybe it's just being in my 30s too, wake up with a sore neck, sore arm, you sleep the wrong way, and it's awful. But Molecule sleep scientists literally created the world's most perfect mattress. It's unlike any other mattress in a box. It's cool to the touch. It has 6 times the airflow of my old mattress, so it keeps me cool all night. It has zone reflex layers, and it's antimicrobial. Molecule mattress is how elite athletes and people like me and Jason get the best sleep ever. Sleep on your Molecule mattress risk-free for 100 nights. If you don't have your deepest, most restorative sleep ever, then you can return it. Visit on Molecule.com and save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON. Again, save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON at OnMolecule.com. All right, welcome back. So Chris Sale still looks pretty good through his 2 starts on Friday. He went 5 innings. He gave up 5 hits, no earned runs, and 5 strikeouts. You know, it's typical Chris Sale, so he still looks good. He looks strong. He's striking out batters. But for me, it was his post-game press conference once again. He always knows the right things to say, and it was the same Friday night. He said he's never satisfied because if he wanted to go 6 innings, he originally was going to go 6 innings, but the 5th ended up being a little too long for Cora's liking and didn't want to stretch him out that bad. So Chris Sale comes out, says, I wanted to go 6, but if I went 6, I wanted to go 7. I'm never satisfied because if you're satisfied, you're content. But I think the only bad thing about Chris Sale is as good as he looks, it's like the team only wins when he's on the mound. They can't win every 5 games, every 6 games. But it begs the question now, like, did the Red Sox put too much stock into his return, just kind of hoping, and we've talked about this, that he would be the Lord and Savior. And then you have Garrett Richards and Martin Perez in the bullpen that they could give you long relief. Chris Sale's back and everything's okay.
Right. You know, if you look at the numbers and you say, okay, 5 innings, 2 runs against the Orioles, well, I mean, Garrett Richards probably could have done that, right? I mean, it's not like the actual performance itself, the statistical performance, is saving the Red Sox. You know, 5 shutout innings against the Rangers is nice. And after watching Erod get destroyed by the Rangers on Saturday, I guess you say, well, you know, maybe that looks even better. But you look at on paper, you say 5 innings, twice, two times out against two really definitely the two worst teams in baseball, the Orioles and the Rangers. You know, anybody could have done that. Garrett Richards could have done that. Nick Pivetta probably could have done that. It's the confidence factor. It's the energy that he brings them. It's the fact that they scored 22 runs in those two games and probably played their cleanest, two of their cleanest games of the season. So that, I think, is impressive. But like you said, what's happening when Sale's not on the mound? How come they aren't having that energy, that confidence without him? So maybe it is the pitching that they suddenly no longer believe in, that this starting rotation that we doubted very highly early in the season, entering the season, we didn't think much of the starting rotation, had a great first couple months, has kind of come back to earth. Maybe the players are feeling that too. And I looked at Saturday's game and thought, that's as close as they've looked to the 2020 Red Sox since the 2020 Red Sox. I mean, just the lack of confidence, the defensive mistakes, the base running mistakes, the starting pitcher getting pulled early, you know, using pitchers out of the bullpen that don't look good. I mean, it was like watching 2020 all over again. And when that happens, you wonder about the confidence. Have the players given up on this team? And Saturday's the first time I wondered, have the players given up on this team?
It really looked like it just from just their mistakes, because five errors is a lot to make in a game, especially when you have people like Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, J.D. Martinez, Kike Hernandez, Hunter Renfroe, like the guys who have been incredible all season, and they just look lost. And I don't know if it's, you know, Chris Sale, if he says anything pregame, if he's just, you know, a big intimidating kind of presence where it's like, we need to play well for this guy. And maybe they don't like that. They're not like that with E-Rod or Nick Pivetta on the mound. They're just like, well, we'll do our best. Where if you lose with Chris Sale on the mound, what's going to happen after the game? Is he just going to like say anything? Is he going to stare at you and you're going to be like, well, we'll never do that again? But it's just, it's so bizarre to me, because I know that obviously teams got better around them, but when you look at, it's basically the same team they had before the trade deadline, and they're just, the offense is terrible. But when Chris Sale's on the mound, they're scoring runs, and it's like that's all they know how to do. And, you know, is there, like, where is the disconnect? Is it with every other, is it with the four other starting pitchers? Is it with Alex Cora? Is it with the front office? Is there a clubhouse cancer somewhere on this lineup? There's a lot of questions, but if you're only going to win when Chris Sale's on the mound, that is a big, big problem.
Yeah, is it a confidence issue, right? I mean, we've been talking about that since the deadline. Did they lose confidence? Was the clubhouse lost, where Cora did such a good job kind of motivating these guys out of spring training, telling them how everybody doubted them, nobody was picking them to win games, and then they surprise and they're good. And maybe that confidence is there, and hey, look, we proved everyone wrong, look at us. And then we get to the trade deadline, and hey, front office, look what we just did, so you better help us out. And they really don't, and they have to wait 2.5 weeks to get Kyle Schwarber into the lineup, and he's been great at the plate, right? I mean, he's only played 5 games, but I think he's got like a 6.11 on base percentage. He's been really good at the plate, but now he's pushed JD Martinez into a regular outfield role. You know, you worry about him staying healthy. It seems like an attitude thing more than anything. It really does. It just seems like, did Cora lose the clubhouse? Did the front office kind of lose it? You know, did the players give up a little bit? I mean, obviously they're still working their hardest, but when I say give up, I mean attitude-wise. Did they give up in their attitude? Do they feel helpless? Do they feel like, well, you know, the White Sox are too good, the Astros are too good, you know, the Rays and Yankees, we handled them early, but they're handling us now. You know, maybe it's just not our year. That's kind of what you wonder is how much of it is just an attitude, confidence, pressure type of thing, where it's the mental side of the game. Because the physical side, yeah, they're making some errors, but it seems more like mental errors. You know, Hunter Renfroe overrunning a routine ground ball in right field, you know, the ball was on the ground. It didn't take a weird hop. It just, he didn't put his glove all the way down. It was just like a mental error. He just wasn't focused. And so there's something going on with the attitude or the mental part of the game with this Red Sox team. Because to me, it doesn't look physical. It looks mental.
It certainly does look mental, especially the Hunter Renfroe is the perfect example of that, because there was nothing weird about the ground ball. It was a routine play that should have been made. At that point, also, it didn't really matter. The game was out of reach at that point anyway, but it's still something you don't want to see. And it's I don't believe that anything is physical right now with this team. I have no reason to believe anyone is hurt because I feel like everyone's making errors. And it's not just one person. It's not just Hunter Renfrow. It's not just Bobby Delbecq. It's everyone. And they're like big team effort in contributing to this mini collapse they're on right now. And personally, I don't think it's Cora. I think the players respect and listen to Cora. I think this is a reflection of the front office and what happened or what didn't happen at the trade deadline. You know, you're in first place, you're dominating, you're proving everyone wrong with a roster that probably obviously looks good on paper and was good through the first 100 games of the season. You have the opportunity to get better and you bring in two relievers that are making you worse. You're bringing in a bat that will make your lineup better, but you didn't really need lineup help. And it could just be frustrating where this is the second or third year in a row. I don't really count 2020 because they were out regardless by the trade deadline at that time and nothing was really going to happen with them in 2020. But you look back to 2019, the same thing happened. They didn't get help with the trade deadline and it was just, they were still in it. They could have, if they had a little bit of help at the trade deadline, things probably could have gone differently. But now they're in danger of missing the postseason for the third year in a row. And that's not going to sit well with Red Sox fans. That's not going to sit well with some of the players and Alex Cora. It's not going to sit well with JD Martinez. So, I mean, there's a lot riding on this season, and I think it's more than just do they make the playoffs or not.
Yeah, great point. There's going to be fallout. You know, even if whatever happens this season, it's obviously if they don't make the playoffs or they're out after one game, it's going to be disappointing. But there's going to be fallout from that. You know, like do they continue to add pieces going into next year? Do they still kind of view it as a long-term thing? You know, they just signed Matt Barnes to a contract extension, so it seems like they're in this to continue competing. But some of these guys aren't getting any younger. Is it just all on Chris Sale next year to make them better? Or do they have a plan going into free agency where, hey, you know, we've been under the luxury tax threshold 2 years in a row now, which didn't seem necessary. Usually you just reset once for the big market teams. They reset once, and then they go hard for 3 years. Then they reset, go hard for 3 years. The Red Sox didn't do that, so do they have a plan going into the offseason of getting better in free agency? I mean, how many prospects are all of a sudden going to mature into helping them next year? Maybe Tristan Casas, maybe someone like Connor Siebold, who's starting to play really well at Worcester. I don't know if these are necessarily team-changing players. There's going to be fallout from this after the season, so that's a good point. And as we watch these last 5 weeks unfold here, we're not just looking at what's going on for right now. We're looking at what's this mean going forward.
A lot of unanswered questions that probably won't have any answers till at least the off season. But coming up, we do have our unpopular opinions and ending this show on a positive note, despite all this negative talk around the Red Sox. But first, we are supported by Built Bar. Built Bar has so many delicious flavors. Jason and I love Built Bar. I know he's on a raspberry kick. I'm on cookies and cream kick. We love it. And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they are certainly passionate about what they like. And not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they're healthy. They have 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories from 130 to 180, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. So amazing flavors, they're all tasty, and they're all healthy. Plus, it's the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. And we have an offer for you. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. We also are supported by BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams gear up for their runs to the playoffs. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Welcome back. So, as always, our third segment will begin with our unpopular opinions. And I'm going to go first because I feel like I've been on this team, like, very positive. I've been a very, like, optimistic person about this team for the entire season and since we've taken over this podcast in particular. But the last 2 weeks, really, I just feel like this team is very, very lost, like we've mentioned all episode. And I know they're only 2.5 back of the Yankees, but I don't think this is a postseason team anymore. I don't know if they have what it takes to continue to creep up on the Yankees, secure a wild card spot. And even if they get into the wild card, I don't know if they have it what it takes to win. Because they look lost, all these mental errors, they're getting in their own way. I don't know what's next for this team as opposed to when it comes to this season. So there's a lot of mistakes that shouldn't be happening that are happening. And I know there's still 37, 38 games left, whatever it is. I just don't know if it's enough time anymore. I think there's too many games for them to continue to dig this hole they're digging.
They've got to get some confidence going against good teams, right? I mean, no matter what happens with these next 7 games against bad teams, like hopefully they, for their sake, they're able to come out ahead with a winning record in these last 7 games before they face the Rays again. But then can you gain confidence against some good teams? They got 6 games left against the Rays, 3 the White Sox, 3 the Mariners, and 3 the Yankees. And the rest of it is just a lot of cookies. I mean, they've got one of the easiest remaining schedules in the league. And then they end the season with 3 against the Orioles and 3 against the Nationals, who have nothing to play for. So can they get confidence ahead of time? Because you're right, it's not necessarily about making the playoffs. Like, they might be fine in a 1-game wild card against the A's. I mean, if Chris Sale's pitching well, you feel pretty good about that. Against the Yankees. If they beat the A's and win that wild card spot, it'd presumably be against the Yankees. You know, you probably feel pretty good against Chris Sale. The Yankees are playing better with 2 left-handers in their lineup, Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo. Well, I mean, Sale kind of destroys lefties. Lefties really don't do anything against them. So I think you feel okay if you get in a 1-game wild card against the Yankees. You feel like you have a chance. The question is, does it matter? Are they going to handle the White Sox? Are they going to handle the Astros? Are they going to handle the Rays in the playoffs? They need momentum. They need confidence getting there. And I think, you know, they're running out of time to really get that momentum going. But no, I'm with you. I think it was last week that I decided I don't think this team's going anywhere. So it's just hard. It's going to take a miracle, I think, to get back to this. All right. So my unpopular opinion is everybody kind of wants to compare this collapse to 2011, and I actually think that the 2011 team was a better team than this. That this collapse is not on par with that. The 2011 team dominated basically from after the first 9 games of the season until September. You look at their numbers, the bullpen didn't collapse. It was mainly just the starting rotation. They actually addressed their needs at the trade deadline. They got Eric Bedard, who threw 40 innings and was perfectly fine for them. They got Mike Aviles, who hit like 3-something after the deadline. They addressed their needs, and the players they got were good. They just broke down. It was like an epic collapse in 2011, mainly because they had no pitching depth. You know, and then Theo Epstein basically fired himself after the season. And it kind of felt like Francona did too, even though, you know, they said it was mutual. It just feels like at some point you know that you've lost the clubhouse. You know you've lost the team. And that's what happened in 2011. I don't think this is that bad. I think this team just wasn't very good. They overperformed for a while. The front office left them out to dry in July, and now they're going to have to pick up the pieces going forward of how do you rebuild confidence from the clubhouse up? How are they going to believe in the front office and the message that they're hearing from Cora all the way up to Bloom? I think that's the bigger issue with this team. But I have a hard time comparing it to 2011 because the 2011 team was legitimately dominant. That team should have been going places. That was one of the best teams I've ever covered. You know, this team I never felt that way about.
Yeah, 2011, like you said, they were a very dominant team up and down that lineup. And like you said, the needs were addressed there. And it just so happened they ended up collapsing. And I think people tend to forget, too, that this season for the Red Sox in 2021, they weren't supposed to be this good. They weren't supposed to be in first place. They were supposed to be on the outside looking in all season. They exceeded all those expectations, got everyone's hopes up. And now they're kind of performing how people expected them to in the beginning. So I don't necessarily see this as like a major collapse by any means, but I think that they're just becoming what they should have been in April. And now we're going to end our show on a positive note. And Jason, I'll let you go first this time since I took over the unpopular opinion first.
Yeah, you know, it just dawned on me this week while we were watching Nathan Eovaldi pitch that with everything that's gone wrong this year, you've got a guy, Nathan Eovaldi, who's already made more starts than he's made in six seasons. And if he finishes the year, it's just going to be the second time in his career that he's made 30 starts. It hasn't happened since 2014. So the fact that this guy's even still healthy and still competitive, it's not like he's been bad either. I think Eovaldi's been the most consistent pitcher all year. You know, he's not giving up homers. He's not walking a lot of guys. He's attacking guys. He's using his stuff. He's consistent. He takes the mound every 5 days. You know, you still owe him $17 million again next year. You got one more year of this guy on a decent contract. He's been worth the money this year. And if he stays healthy, I think that in itself is a minor miracle because it just hasn't happened. You know, he was an all-star for the first time in his career. I think he's just one of the lone bright spots of this team.
He is, and given his injury history, especially the last few years with the Red Sox, I can't believe he hasn't gone on the IL. And that's not a shot at him. He's just injury prone, and he's had so many elbow issues. Tommy John, he had to get loose bodies removed, and he's just been really struggling to stay healthy. And to see it in a year where the Red Sox really need it certainly is reassuring. And like you said, he's been one of the most consistent pitchers for the Red Sox this year. And again, that's what they needed, especially while Chris Sale was rehabbing. So I certainly love Eovaldi being healthy. If they lose him, that's going to be really, really bad. I hope he stays healthy the rest of the way. But good for him, because it hasn't been the easiest road for him in the MLB. So for me, for my positive takeaway has to do with old friend Brock Holt. Obviously was a fan favorite while he was here. He returned to Fenway on Friday for the first time in front of fans, and he got a really nice ovation, and which was obviously good to see. I mean, I think everyone loved Brock Holt while he was here. There was really nothing he did wrong. He just wasn't, you know, some big name. He wasn't J.D. Martinez. It wasn't Xander Bogaerts, you know. He's just been a utility man his whole life, bouncing around. And it was good to see him back. But him and his wife, Lakin, brought cookies to the Jimmy Front Clinic. And it's just really nice to see that they're still so involved with the Jimmy Fund and those kids and how much they can make a difference still, even though he's part of the Rangers. So I just thought that was really sweet. And it's, like you said, when they're here, it's like they're still home. So that was very sweet of them, and it just made me happy on a weekend where it's just been kind of crappy regarding Red Sox news. So that will do it for Monday's show. We will be back on Tuesday, hopefully talking about a Red Sox win and a Red Sox win of this series. You can find me on Twitter at lalalalauren, three laws, Lauren with four R's. Read all my work on Nesson.com and also the Locked On Red Sox Twitter account at @LO_Red Sox.
Yeah, and you can read my work in the Boston Herald or follow me on Twitter at @JMastroDonato.
And please rate, review, and subscribe to Locked On Red Sox so you do not miss an episode the second it drops. Also, don't forget to check out Locked On Rangers. I'm sure they are loving the last Saturday's game. Check out them. Check out Locked On MLB and all the other MLB shows across the Locked On Network. And betting on MLB, the Red Sox, the Rangers, it doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.